I'm going to be talking about two completely different things and thinking about firearm violence and how to prevent it. For the biggest part of my career, I have focused more on trying to keep guns out of the hands of dangerous people. And the talk I'm going to have to lead off the session with focuses on a very different kind of model. It sort of recognizes that while that's a laudable strategy of trying to keep guns away from dangerous people, there are plenty of guns already out there in the hands of dangerous people, and what can we possibly do to try to reduce the likelihood that they're going to shoot people? So I'm going to talk about the implementation of a community gun violence prevention program and focus on the work of outreach workers. To give you a little bit of background, this program is focused in Baltimore, where I work, and unfortunately, Baltimore has one of the highest homicide rates in the country. I believe we're number two behind Detroit in recent statistics. The vast majority of these homicides are committed with firearms, and nearly 6 out of 10 of the victims are under the age of 25 years old. Baltimore City Health Department has had a program in youth violence prevention for a number of years, and the director of that program was looking for models that they might try in Baltimore, given that we were struggling with this problem, and came upon the Ceasefire Chicago model that seemed to be very effective, at least from the preliminary evidence that was available. So they sought funding from the U.S. Department of Justice and through an earmark that they got for Baltimore. Also important in this is that the folks in Chicago also got funding from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation to help train other cities to replicate their program. I want to mention the five main components of the ceasefire model that Baltimore is trying to replicate. One is community mobilization, and what you're mobilizing around, of course, is trying to stop the shootings. Residents come together to build coalitions with organizations that serve youth, faith leaders, police, and in our case, in the public health department. In my mind, maybe one of the most important components to this model is the outreach workers, individuals that are hired. Typically, these are individuals who might have sort of lived that life before, possibly as a gang member, but basically have had some close association with urban gun violence. And these individuals go out and they try to build trust with some of the high-risk individuals in the most high-risk parts of the city. And they do two main things. They try to direct those individuals that they refer to as their clients into services and programs that might reduce their risk. The other important thing that they do is that they sort of model nonviolence conflict resolution and try to mediate disputes sort of right on the spot. They try to keep their ear to the ground to know what's going on and try to step in and prevent the shootings. Really, frankly, a pretty radical and astounding thing if you think about it. You know, you think about punching the clock every day and your job is to go into the most dangerous place in the city, in our case, in one of the most dangerous cities in the country, and look for the most dangerous people and try to convince them to not shoot people. And we're going to compensate you in the ballpark of about $23,000 a year. So I couldn't have more admiration for people who have what it takes to go and do that. They're really extraordinary individuals. Other key components are public education campaign, where the very sort of simple message is stop shooting. Also key in this, as far as Chicago's history with this, is the involvement of the faith community. Not only do they provide some spiritual direction, but they also sort of, you know, get with the message of nonviolence. And one of the things that they do in communities is when there is a shooting, they never let it go without a response, with some public way to say, no, this isn't acceptable. And I'll tell you, in Baltimore, again, that's a very radical sort of notion, because in many of the areas plagued by gun violence, it is really just seen as part of life. It's just, it's not anything out of the ordinary. Criminal justice organizations participated in this, but in sort of a circumscribed way, because you have to build trust between the outreach workers and the high-risk individuals. You don't want anybody associated with the program look like they're connected to the police department or might be snitching. But they do help provide some safe space for the organization to do their work. So here's just a one of the flyers or posters that they've used in Chicago with a very direct message. This is a picture of one of their outreach workers in Chicago engaging one of their clients on the street. And it's really, if you haven't heard about it, Chicago's gotten a lot of attention for some of the success there, and the mayor and many others are very much behind this program. More formal evaluation of this program is going to be coming out in the near future, but just gathering some information from the program itself, these data show the ceasefire areas reductions in shootings for a five-year period in comparison to some similar comparison neighborhoods, adjacent neighborhoods in Chicago overall, and you see quite a difference there. More recent years show a similar sort of pattern, where the ceasefire neighborhoods clearly are having more substantial reductions than the other areas. So Dr. Slutkin, who is sort of the author of this program from Chicago, has come to Baltimore, sold some of the leaders there on the program, and the health department issued a request for application for proposals, and a number of community groups submitted proposals. I was on a review panel looking at the proposals, and I have to say, we were very disappointed. This is a very unusual model, and people just didn't get it. Most of the neighborhood groups who have formed over the years in Baltimore really have formed around trying to stop drug dealers, and the people, the high-risk people that this model requires you to engage, these other organizations have had long-standing feuds with, and their only goal really is to put them in jail. So a very different sort of mindset and orientation was called for. So it was very difficult to select someone to do this. We did select one group that operates in a neighborhood in East Baltimore, less than a mile from my campus in the School of Public Health. It's a neighborhood called McElderly Park. And this funding supports some direction, community coordinator, supervisor for the outreach worker, and four outreach workers. They're soon going to have some city money to expand this. We got a second round of proposals, did a little more education, and found one more neighborhood group willing and able to do this on the west side, and they're just getting their program underway. So there's been a lot of training going on that Baltimore has received from Chicago, and the media campaign has not yet been launched. When I submitted this abstract, I thought we would be a little further on in implementing the program, but so anyway, I had some initial questions about, I have to admit, I was a skeptic. I didn't think this could possibly work when you just sort of think about it, particularly in a place like Baltimore. And while I saw some good things happening in Chicago, I thought that there might be some reasons why it would be much harder to do this in Baltimore. Chicago has working for it some better gun policies, for example. They have more established gang networks from which to operate and negotiate through. So I thought it was going to be harder. So just some general information about the implementation. The implementation in McElderly Park began in June of this year, and here are some of the community events and the attendance of it. So they got fairly good turnout for their community events. Very pleased about that. You see the shooting responses on the bottom row there. There were two in the month of June, with 66 attending, and quite an amazing turnout for the shooting response in July. Also note the bottom, the next three zeros there. There hasn't been a shooting there for 3 months running. So if you would look at the data for this neighborhood over the long term, that's quite unusual. So that's good. As far as their activities of the outreach workers, we expected that it was going to take them a while to sort of get engaged into the community and start to develop contacts and develop clients. So this shows you July basically was just kind of getting to know people, and then in August they started a little more in earnest, starting to recruit clients. So that they had 16 in August, and the most recent at the end of October they had 28 clients, high-risk individuals, and they were averaging about 3 contacts per client per month. Referrals also going up over time as well, and the mediations are on the bottom row. I only had the number of mediations for October through the first 3 weeks, so there probably was some more that I don't have. Just to characterize what those events, you know, what kind of dynamics was going on of the things that they were mediating, it was interesting to note that many of them were sort of personal slights. Even though there are clearly gangs in this area and there's a lot of drug dealing, if you would talk to the police, all the violence is, everything is connected to gangs and drugs. If you actually look at what's going on, it's a lot of silly stuff of dissing and things like that. And as far as the type of mediation, most commonly it's a one-on-one kind of mediation that they're able to cool people down, but sometimes they have to do diplomacy in groups. I'm going to run out of time, so I'm just going to share with you one most significant mediation. It was the most recent one and really sort of a breakthrough in this community, given that it's a relatively new program. There was, again, one of these personal slights involving two individuals. These two individuals happened to be fairly up there in the ranks of some local gangs. And it had to do with a comment made by one of their girlfriends, and it got inflamed by another person, and a contract was put out on one of the people that was a client of the outreach worker. So the client told the outreach worker about this. The outreach worker contacted two of his colleagues, who quickly got to work trying to bring together the other group and see if they could bring the two groups at a table. While it involved two individuals, it quickly everything became very group-oriented. They brought them to the table. They did an initial mediation and basically worked things out. And the individual who sort of was the main aggressor came in late, was about to really start something really ugly, and they were able to cool him down. And they eventually brought him back. They started to walk out, and the outreach workers didn't really sense that they really had solved it. They brought him back to the table and resolved the conflict. And not only that, they then brought the whole groups back, so that time had dispersed, to come back and basically to come with a peace agreement. And it just gave this group an incredible amount of credibility. This is just the shooting data right now that I sort of indicated before, that the red bars are the target area, that nothing has gone on in the 3 months where they were most active out there. So very preliminary but very encouraging, and in a very short amount of time, this model is already starting to work that I think probably should get better over time as more trust is built. Thank you. at least there was no talk of that. Now, we are later going to be doing some more in-depth debriefing to get a little bit more in the details here. What I'm able to obtain so far are just from write-ups that they do and some brief conversations. We're going to bore into this in much more detail down the line, and that's clearly something to focus on. There's another incident I was going to tell about if I had a little more time, where they were able to get two groups of individuals coming together armed to put their guns down and basically duke it out. And people walked away and nobody got shot or dead or anything, and that was it. And frankly, kind of that's sort of the whole model is, you know, put away the guns and more people are going to live to see another day. I think I'm out of time now. Next person is even going to know more about this model because she's been doing it for years.
Exactly. I'm just going to introduce Amanda Geppert, who's here for Teo Hardeman from Ceasefire Chicago. Good afternoon.